This is the Daily Dope, presented by The Gaming Gang, for Tuesday, January 24th, 2012. It's time for yet another irrelevant look at the gaming news of the day. Hi again, I'm your host, Jeff McAleer, and I'm back at it following our Monster Podcast, episode 33 of The Gaming Gang, that went live online yesterday. It's a huge episode this time around as we clock in at over 2 hours. Elliot reviews Venture Forth from Minion Games, Y from Victory Point Games, and rebuts my previous review of Eruption from Stratus Games. I take a look at Masters of Commerce from Grouper Games and Trail of Cthulhu from Pelgrane Press. Don't forget, we each reveal our top 5 games of 2011 and count down our personal top 3. Enough of all that though, let's get into the news. Cryptozoic Entertainment will soon release the next expansion for the World of Warcraft trading card game, Crown of the Heavens. Packed with 198 new cards, Crown of the Heavens will allow players to include monsters in their decks. Gather around Nordrassil and see your future. Are you ready to smash with ogres, heal the cracked land with dryads, corrupt everything with demons? I'm more of a corrupting everything with demons sort of guy. Climb the Crown of the Heavens and find your destiny. Monster fans can find 3 new featured races for their World of Warcraft trading card game Monster Deck. Demons, dryads, and ogres, oh my, are waiting for you to embrace your inner monster and add them to your favorite deck. Horde and Alliance fans will find plenty of allies to join their parties as well. If you thought the allies in Throne of the Tides were massive, you haven't seen anything yet. And how will you get these allies into play? You'll find the new keyword Harmonize helps you recruit those massive allies at an epic discount. There are also some special loot cards involved with Crown of the Heroes. Will you be lucky enough to find a corrupted hippogriff mount, an ogre mage costume item, or a gregarious grell pet among your cards? Crown of the Heavens will be available in booster packs and an epic collection next month. Also, DailyMetagame.com has announced that they are tracking major Cryptozoic World of Warcraft trading card game events because they want to have a Player of the Year race. Most gamers are familiar with Mitchell and Creasy's classic of military history, 20 Decisive Battles of the World. Now, Turning Point Simulations thought it'd be particularly great to be able to game all 20 of those battles. Soon you will. The company who brings you Against the Odds magazine have launched a sister company, Turning Point Simulations, to create a new sort of gaming experience. Classy, rather small, boxed, mounted boards, all games with low complexity but high challenge and play value. All 20 of the book's battles, from Marathon to Stalingrad, will be included and published at a rate of 4 per year. They'll be available individually, or you can choose the entire series for a remarkable single price. Yes, you can sign on to receive all 20 of these games for just $425, and that price does include priority shipping to the U.S. For Canadian customers, the series price is $600, and for other international customers, the series price will be $675, also including high-speed shipping. Turning Point Simulations is also offering a honeymoon option, which will allow you to sign up for just the first 4 games, and that way you can keep your options open if you'd like to sign up for the entire series. Some of the games come from the Hall of Fame of game designers, Berg, Markham, Wimble. Others come from those who have proven themselves with a few quality designs over the past 15, 20 years, like Paul Dangle and Gary Selkirk, while still other designs come from strong up-and-comers like Hlalmer Gerber or Lembit Tover. These games will all be distinct designs. There is no single Decisive Battles rule set that gets modified 20 different ways, but they will all share some common goals: interest, playability, quality components. While the series will be aimed to look like a series and look sharp on a bookshelf, these games are all meant to be played. And those who sign on to collect the entire series get an added bonus, and that's not going to be sold individually or in stores. The book, 20 Decisive Battles, stopped at Stalingrad. For those who collect the series, you'll receive an entry into the suggested upgrade of the book, a 21st Decisive Battle, perhaps the most potentially decisive battle of all time. Take a look at the new Turning Point Simulations website, give a peek at the online rules and sample components, and the folks at TPS will be looking forward to hearing from you with questions and interests. Also, be sure to check out the ConSim World Forum for TPS as well for chats. The gang over at Paizo are burning the midnight oil once again, and they have a plethora of new Pathfinder System game supplements heading into stores this week. There's the Jade Regent, Tide of Honor, and Jade Regent Poster Map Folio, alongside the Ruby Phoenix Tournament and Dragon Empire's Primer. As far as the two Jade Regent products, Tide of Honor is a Pathfinder role-playing game adventure for 12th level characters. This volume continues the Jade Regent adventure path, a sweeping quest that takes the heroes from familiar territory in Phyrexia all the way across the ice fields, the crown of the world, to distant Tianjai, the land of the Dragon Empires. This volume of the Pathfinder adventure path also features an extensive gazetteer of the exotic and intriguing land of Minkai, and an article about Irori, the god of self-perfection and martial arts, plus several new monsters drawn from Japanese mythology in the Pathfinder bestiary. New adventures of Virian Jaeger and Radovan, stars of the Pathfinder Tales novels Prince of Wolves and Master of Devils in the Pathfinder's Journal, and much more. Who would be so foolish as to travel from one end of the world to the other without a trusty map to lead the way? With the map folio, you'll find three invaluable maps for running the Jade Regent adventure path. Yet these maps can serve any campaign that heads beyond the borders of the Inner Sea into the northern continent known as the Crown of the World. Then there's the Ruby Phoenix Tournament. Once every 10 years, the cosmopolitan city of Goka on the eastern coastline of Tianji hosts the Ruby Phoenix Tournament on an island in the city's harbor. Infamous for its strange spectacles and exciting mix of fighting styles, the contest draws combatants from all over the world. Its winner gets his choice of a single item from the legendary treasury of an ancient spellcaster. But this year, not all who come to compete do so out of respect for the traditions of battle, or even out of greed for the reward. They seek nothing so much as red revenge. I'm not sure what difference the color red would make, though. The Ruby Phoenix Tournament is a tournament-style Pathfinder module designed for 11th level characters, written for the Pathfinder role-playing game, and compatible with the 3.5 edition of the world's oldest RPG. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. The adventure serves as an ideal introduction to the folk and fighting styles of the lands of the Dragon Empires. Then there's the Dragon Empires Primer. Enter the mystical land of Tianji, the Dragon Empires, a new realm for players to explore. Player-friendly descriptions of more than two dozen nations, new traits for each, details on five new character races, like the bird-like Tengu, the shape-changing fox-like Kitsune, the shadow-wreathed Weiyang, the reptilian Nagiji, and the spirit-bound Samsaran. Gotta love all those role-playing games with all the different names that I have to try to pronounce. There's also notes on local religions, new Asia-inspired archetypes, feats and martial arts styles, magic items, spells, and a system to track honor and dishonor provide numerous exciting character options. All four of these supplements will be arriving on shelves later this week. It came from beyond the still, Men in Plaid and those other guys, is the ultimate in special agents and operatives for the ultimate skirmish miniatures battle for life, liberty, and the moonshine. In fact, It Came from Beyond the Still is the only game that I'm aware of that you're battling over moonshine. This is a supplement, and it will require It Came from Beyond the Still to play the game. Here's what you get. Two new factions. The Men in Plaid operatives featuring new rules for cabers and sheep tossing. The Men in Black agents featuring forget-me-sticks and cool sunglasses. New cool abilities and new weapons with weapon closet stats such as the super special Haggis gas attack and the Men in Black's big loud guns. Ready to play scenarios that feature both of these new factions are also included. If you're not familiar with It Came from Beyond the Still, or what's also known as Aliens vs. Hillbillies, it is the ultimate skirmish miniatures game for life, liberty, and the moonshine. In the original rules, you get a letter from Neuron, the Supreme Alien Commander, a first-person account of the alien menace from Grandpa McCoy. Rules governing combat. 5 armies, Greys, Squids, McCoys, Hatfields, and the Revenuers. And ready-to-play scenarios to put all of your moonshining miniatures in action. And finally, in what I thought to be a pretty cool move by DC Comics, DC Entertainment announced a multi-million dollar campaign to raise money to fight the hunger crisis in the Horn of Africa, one that would leverage their iconic superhero characters across several platforms. This 2-year initiative, called We Can Be Heroes, will feature members of the Justice League and will be released across Warner Brothers and Time Warner businesses. Jeff Rubinoff, president of Warner Brothers Pictures Group, said at the press conference, "The fact that we're able to take what we do and use it to raise awareness and inspire action around a cause as important as this is gratifying. With the support of the entire studio and our Time Warner sister companies, this campaign, like the DC Comics superheroes, will make a great impact on an important issue. We Can Be Heroes will support 3 charities working in Africa to relieve the famine, Save the Children, International Rescue Committee, and Mercy Corps. Advertising across Time Warner and Warner Brothers businesses such as HBO, Time, and Turner Broadcasting will increase awareness of the crisis and drive audiences to the We Can Be Heroes website, where they can make a donation." Diane Nelson, president of DC Entertainment, explained why the core Justice League members, including Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, The Flash, Cyborg, and Aquaman, were ideal to promote awareness of this campaign. "The members of the Justice League are an international team of superheroes beloved by a broad range of fans, including men and women, young and old. This makes them the perfect spokes characters for this campaign. Their dedication to social justice and commitment to band together to defend the helpless brilliantly supports the ideals of the We Can Be Heroes campaign. The hunger crisis in the Horn of Africa is something we can reverse if we all work together." You can read more about the We Can Be Heroes initiative at the DC Source blog, or just simply go visit the official website at joinwecanbeheroes.org. That's it for today's show. A little light on the news, I would say, but then again, we had plenty of news in yesterday's podcast. I will be back tomorrow, and of course, until then, have a terrific Tuesday, and tomorrow's hump day. The Daily Dope is presented by The Gaming Gang, located at thegaminggang.com. Any similarities to an actual news program are certainly unintentional and, in fact, accidental.